Welcome to the debate. So I want you to imagine walking into a completely empty, stark white room.
Okay. Sounds a bit like an interrogation room, but sure.
Right. Well, there's no furniture, no windows, no ambient music playing, just blank walls. What is your absolute first instinct?
I mean, honestly, I'd probably pull out my phone immediately.
Exactly. And that reflex is exactly what we're digging into today. We are looking at a really fascinating empirical field study of an artist-in-residence program, and this was located in the freezing, remote forests of rural Finland.
Yeah, the program was centered around this single, very intense theme, which was silence, awareness, and existence.
Right, so the organizers took a group of artists, essentially cut them off from the digital world, and dropped them into the hushed snow, basically to answer one vital question.
Which is, are we fundamentally afraid of silence, or, you know, have our smartphones simply made us forget how to speak its language? And it really explores the intersection of art, techno-spirituality, and human-computer interaction, or HCI.
Exactly. So the framing of our disagreement today is really about this central conflict between technology and quietude. And I'll state my position clearly right off the bat. Silence is fundamentally perceived as an absence or void. And technology serves as our natural, even necessary tool to bridge that gap and translate the void into meaning.
And my position is the exact opposite. Silence is a generative medium for communication in its own right, a powerful presence that technology often threatens to disrupt or erase.
All right, well, let's get into it. So to kick off my perspective here, I argue that human beings instinctively experience silence as a void, and our innate drive is to fill or structure it, primarily through technology.
But is it innate or just conditioned?
Well, look at the source material. Look at the residency itself. They deliberately shut down the Wi-Fi to force disconnection, right?
Yeah, a digital fast.
Exactly. But the participants immediately subverted this restriction. They used mobile hotspots. They went out and purchased these really expensive cellular data packages. It reveals a fundamental human dependency on connectivity to fill the quiet.
I wouldn't call it fundamental.
I mean, even when they were actively engaging with the so-called silence, the artist researcher relied heavily on digital technology, audio recorders, digital cameras, editing software, all to capture and process the experience. Without technology to frame it, the silence just remains an unnavigatable absence.
Well, I completely disagree that silence is just an empty space waiting to be filled. It's an active, generative force.
How so?
Have you ever heard of the traditional Chinese aesthetic concept of Lu Bai?
Remind me, that's about leaving blank space, right?
Exactly. Leaving blank space. Or the Japanese concept of ma, which is this idea of betweenness. In these frameworks, the unsaid and the unseen hold limitless possibilities, and the residency prove this. Silence functions as a powerful language on its own.
A language without words?
Yes. Think about the 15-kilometer silent walk the residents did. They communicated deeply. Through shared pace, through gestures. The urge you mentioned to just fill silence with digital technology, that is not a natural human instinct. It is an induced addiction to acceleration, and it destroys those in-between spaces that are vital for deep reflection and noticing.
Okay, let's look at that supposed addiction, because I want to talk about their initial struggle with the Wi-Fi restriction.
The hotspots again?
Not just the hotspots. Look at the weekly group meetings. They literally became what the study called confessions of dependency.
Well, sure, it's an adjustment period.
An adjustment? They were panicking. Because think of it like a vacuum. Just as a vacuum in physics naturally pulls in surrounding air to equalize pressure, the cognitive void of absolute silence naturally pulls in the desire for digital connection.
I'm sorry, but I just don't buy that. Let me tell you why.
Go ahead.
You're framing this dependency as a natural state. But it's a symptom of digital saturation.
Saturation? They were in the middle of a remote Finnish forest.
Right, but their brains were saturated from their normal, everyday lives. Look at the evidence from the material. When the artist intentionally placed her phone face down in airplane mode during a silent weekend, she didn't experience your terrifying void.
She was just substituting inputs, though.
No, she described time feeling abundant. She was reading up in a treehouse, attuning to her own bodily rhythms instead of digital alarms. Disconnecting allowed the environment to become a positive presence, not some empty vacuum.
Okay, reading alone in a treehouse is one thing, but let's shift the focus to shared silence, because suppressing speech actually creates a really unnatural tension.
Unnatural? Pine argue it's just unfamiliar to us.
No, look at the laughing meditation session from The Material, remember that?
Yeah, with the DIY singing bowl.
Right. Someone made a strange, overzealous sound with this DIY singing bowl, and it caused this massive wave of suppressed laughter.
Which is a completely natural human reaction.
But the silence made it feel like a physical struggle. The researcher said she required intense willpower just to not laugh out loud. Her chest was tight. It physically hurt to remain quiet. So it demonstrates that silence is a restriction of communication. It's an absence that requires intense effort to maintain. It's not some natural flowing language.
I come at it from a different way. That laughing session actually proved how deeply in sync the participants had become.
In sync? They were desperately trying not to ruin the exercise.
But the shared silence was the communication. Think about the traditional Chinese landscape paintings created by the artist's mother.
The ones with the massive empty skies?
Exactly. The sky and sea are represented purely by blank space. Just as Liu Bai shows that the virtual and the real generate each other, those unspoken group dynamics in the meditation room conveyed far more meaning and communal presence than spoken words ever could.
I see why you think that. But let me give you a different perspective. If silence is such a perfect generative medium, why did the residents immediately turn to technology when a profound moment actually occurred?
What profound moment?
The frozen lake. At midnight, the lake began to crack and melt, and it sounded like a UFO.
Oh, right, the acoustic signals from the ice.
Yes. And what do? They didn't just stand there and listen in pure unmediated lie-by. The artist immediately grabbed a high-fidelity Zoom recorder.
Well, as an artist, you want to capture the moment.
But they stood around in the freezing cold, literally rotating noise-canceling headphones to digitally amplify the sound. Technology was required to truly hear the silence. They needed it to navigate the experience.
But that reliance on digital mediation fundamentally alters the nature of the experience. It changes the silence.
By recording it? Come on, that's a bit of a stretch.
It's not a stretch. Think about the story of the physical letter sent by a colleague to the residency.
Oh, the handwritten one sent to the retreat.
Right. The intention was to use a slow, analog medium that respected the retreat's atmosphere. But what happened? The modern post service insisted on certified mail.
Because it was a really remote location.
Sure, but they plastered this carefully crafted, handwritten letter with printed stickers and barcodes. Technology, with its constant demand for tracking and efficiency, inherently overwrites the delicate, unquantifiable nature of Liu Bai.
That's an interesting point, though I would frame it differently. Because the actual artistic artifacts they produced, pieces like the Subterranean Mute and the Snow in March, prove that tech and Liu Bai aren't enemies at all.
They're still digital representations, though.
Yes. The Polaroids were digitally edited in Photoshop to emphasize the emptiness. The video piece used digital subtitles and voiceovers to frame the minimalist footage. Tech didn't fill the void with noise. It acted as the canvas.
Okay, it acted as a canvas for the final pieces. But what is lost in that translation? You have to remember her original proposal for the residency.
Which was what exactly?
She wanted to build an interactive technological installation, capturing biometric data from the participants during meditation to make real-time visual projections.
Right, a classic HCI project.
Exactly. But once she was actually immersed in the absolute silence, she abandoned it completely. She realized that implementing a predetermined, highly optimized prototype was totally misaligned with the deeper purpose of being there.
So she shifted her approach to fit the environment.
She chose slow improvisation, embracing chance, using available materials like tracing paper. When we view silence just as a problem to be solved by our devices, we lose the capacity for slow noticing. We lose the ability to dwell in the in-between.
And that is actually a brilliant pivot point. Because I think we are arriving at a space where our perspectives converge.
Oh, really?
Yes. I will always maintain that human beings inherently use technology to structure and translate the void into meaningful communication, which we saw with the digital art. But I entirely concede that the pace and the design of modern technology often completely outstrips our ability to process those experiences.
Yes, the current acceleration of digital life leaves almost no room for the in-between.
Right, and the source material actually offers a solution for this. It advocates for what it calls a technical inward turn.
Or slow technology. It's a fantastic concept.
Exactly. It's designing systems that do not constantly demand our attention or optimize for frantic efficiency. Systems that actually invite contemplation and respect for the unsaid.
It really shows the immense value of applying artistic and spiritual frameworks like Lubai directly to human-computer interaction. We could build user interfaces that utilize vast amounts of negative space, so you aren't overwhelmed with sensory input.
And that opens up a vast, incredibly exciting frontier for future design. It challenges engineers to build technology that acts less like a megaphone shouting into the void, and more like a carefully prepared blank canvas.
I completely agree. It brings us right back to that stark white, empty room you mentioned at the start.
It really does. So it leaves the listener to decide for themselves whether their next moment of quiet is just an empty space waiting for the glow of a screen, or a generative space, vast and full of possibility, just waiting to be experienced.